So today's shiur is going to be a little different than the recent ones. We've started our way through a long chunk, one big sugya that extends for about a daf and a half, and really is all it's all the same structure. It's all one big structure. So our goal today, again, we went through a couple of pieces relatively be'ian. Today is to get the goal is to get a bit of a survey of this daf and a half. We will return to topics within this with greater iyun, but just for today, to get a picture of the full sugya, we're going to run through it. Just if you look at the handout, page one is the psukim that come up, as well as one tosfos. I gave, in case, for those of you who don't have the Gemara, I gave the three amudim we're going to be looking at. And then the back two pages, and feel free to follow in this if you prefer, is a schematic outline of the sugya for this daf and a half. That I tried to lay out, based on its structure. So you may find that easier to follow, or you may find following the Gemara inside easier to follow. That's your choice. We're actually going to go back and start a bit earlier than what we did previously because why don't I first lay this out? Basically, the structure of the sugya is it goes through all six of the main avos. I know we say arba avos nezikin, but if you say shor, really is three different things, Karen, Shane, and Regel, so that you get six, right? Karen, Shane, Regel, and then Bor, Mav, and Hever. The Gemara is going to go through all six of these. For the three that we didn't previously learn the source, that aren't in the Mishnah explicitly, namely Karen, Shane, and Regel, the Gemara derives the source for that. We saw that already for Karen. We'll see it for Shane and Regel. For all six of them, the Gemara asks, what are the toldos of these avos? And then the Gemara tries to figure out, is it kiyotze behen? Are the toldos kiyotze behen or not? As you'll recall, the first sugya, mostly on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, but ending at the top of Beis Amud Beis, we were trying to figure out, are toldos and kiyotze behen or not? And what we concluded, wasn't the full conclusion, was that Rav Papa said that yesh mehen kiyotze behen, v'yesh mehen lav kiyotze behen. Some avos and some toldos are similar to the avos, have the same dinim as the avos, and some toldos don't have the same dinim as the avos. And our Gemara is trying to figure out, there are many cases where the toldos are like the avos, the Gemara is trying to find, are there any toldos that are different than the avos? Which tolda or toldos are not kiyotze behen, are not similar to the avos in terms of the dinim? So that's this very lengthy search for this idea, and maybe we can suggest it's sort of doing two things at once. On the one hand, it's trying to find which toldos are not like the avos, and at the same time, it serves as a sort of introduction to these six avos nezikin, right? It tells you the source for the ones we don't already know. It tells you what the toldos are. It goes into some detail about the toldos. Talks a bit about the halachos. Are they the same or not? In some sense, it's a big, it's like a shir psicha. It's like an opening, introductory analysis of all of these avos. So we're going to run through it relatively quickly today, and then in future shiur, we'll go back to some of the details in greater iyun. So we'll start towards the top of Beis and Beis with Tanur Rabbanan. Right? Tanur Rabbanan bringing in a brisa. Shlosha avos nemru b'shor ha-keren v'ashen v'haregel. Keren, Shane, and Regel are the three avos relating to shor. Just look quickly at Tosfos here. Tanur Rabbanan shlosha avos. Hifzik b'vraisa zo l'farish toldosim lav kiyotzi behen the kamar of Papa ahai. Rav Papa had just said, some toldos are like the avos, some are not. And out of nowhere, we jump into this Tanur Rabbanan, this braisa, and Tosfos explains, the point is to get us back to this question of are the toldos like the avos or not. In order to do that, we need to bring in a whole new brisa and start a whole new dimension, a whole new direction of analysis. Okay, so shor, Karen, Shane, and Regel are the three avos within shor, right? We thought shor was one av. It turns out it's really three. And again, we've done this already, but Karen minalan, what's the source for Karen? The Tanur Rabbanan kiyigach. The pasuk says kiyigach. If the ox gores, ain't, and what does that mean? Yigach, ain't negicha, el of a Karen. That must be Karen shenemer. Vayaslot tzikim and kanana, karnei barzel, right, this connection between Negicha and Karen from that pasuk, and then also from another pasuk, Ve'omer b'chor shor hadar lo v'karnei re'im karnav v'hemem minagah. So the Gemara then questions, my Ve'omer, why do we need two different psukim to prove this connection between Negicha and Karen? V'chi tema divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah lo yalfinan, maybe because the pasuk we started with was from Nach, and we don't learn out drushes from Nach, Tashma b'chor shor hadar lo, that's why we bring a pasuk from Devarim. That's not a real drasha. That's just clarifying what the word means. It's not a real drasha, so it shouldn't be a problem that it comes from Nach. We're just trying to determine that Negicha means Karen. It's not a real drasha. So why do we need both Pesukim? Pani mili bitzlusha. Abba mechuberes ema kula mu'edes hi. I might think, if we only have the pasuk of Tzikim and Kenana, that's not talking about an animal's horn that's attached to the body. That's talking about a metal horn that was designed and then sort of held up. So I might think that the whole din of Keren only applies for detached horns, not a horn that's attached to an animal, if we only had the one pasuk. That's why we have the other pasuk, Tashma, Bechor Shor Hadar Lo, Vigomer. That's why we have the second pasuk to teach that even if the horn is attached. You'll recall we did a little bit of Iyun on that, but right now we're just trying to get the big picture. So what have we shown so far? We have the source for Keren. Right, where does Keren come from? It says, Ki yigach, negicha means Keren. We have two psukim for that. We sorted out why we need two psukim. So far, so good. We have our first of the six avos and the source for that. Now, we talk about what the toldos are. And again, we've seen this as well. Tolda the Keren mahi. What is the tolda of Keren? Maybe there's more than one. So, in fact, there's four. Negifa, neshicha, revitza, uveita. Negifa meaning shoving. Neshicha, biting. Revitza, crouching. Beita, kicking. These are all toldos of Keren. Maishna negifa de karile av, dechsiv ki yigach. Negifa namiksiv ki yigof. Wait a second, why is negifa only a tolda? There's a pasuk that says ki yigof. Negifa should be an av as well. And then we say, no, no, hi negifa negicha hu. What we thought was negifa as an independent thing, meaning shoving, actually, in the psukim, actually is negicha. So when the pasuk says negifa, that also means negicha. If you want to look on page one, it has the psukim, I bolded these verbs where they appear. D'tanya pasach b'negifa v'siyim b'negicha lomer lecha zohi negifa zohi negicha. The pasuk, the psukim which pasuk is this? Pasuk lamed hey starts with v'chiyigof, even though pasuk lamed vav will say, will describe an alternate scenario where the shore is nagach, so it brings in negicha in the context of negifa to tell you that they're the same thing in the psukim. Maishna gavi adam nechsiv kiyigach. Why is it that when the ox gores a person in Pasuk Kaf Ches, it's called Ki Yigach, it's called Negicha, whereas when the ox gores an animal in Pasuk Lamed Hey, we have Negifa, Ki Yigof, Adam the Islay Mazla, Ksiv Ki Yigach, Behema the Islay Mazla, Ksiv Ki Yigof, a person has mazel, whatever exactly that means, we discussed that, it's harder to injure a person, so that's called Negicha. You need, it's sort of a more aggressive behavior that's necessary to injure a person, whereas an animal has no mazel, easier to danger to injure. Therefore, kiyigof is sufficient. The Gemara is teaching, or the Pesukim are teaching you something. By the way, the mudla adam having mudla behema, mudla behema lo having mudla adam. There are these two different levels, right? The standard for becoming a mud for an animal is lower than that for a person. So, if the animal has killed three people, it's mudla adam. That would also count as mudla behema. But if it killed three animals, it would not count as mudla adam. Fine, so that was the first point we made here in terms of the toldos. We had our toldos, we had a bit of a problem. Why is the gifa only a tolda and not an av? So we went through that in some detail. And now, the next point, what about the other things on the list? What about neshicha, revitza, and be'ita? Are those proper toldos of Keren? So we asked, neshicha, tolda de shenhi. Neshicha, biting, that involves the teeth. That should be a tolda of shen, not of Keren. Lo, shen yeshan al hazeka. No, we define shen as something with benefit, right? The animal's supposed to enjoy shen, it's eating. There's no enjoyment from biting. That's aggression, not enjoyment. Okay, so we solved that one. Revitza uveita, crouching and kicking, tolda the regel hi. Those involve the legs, right? You crouch with your legs, you kick with your legs. So that should be a tolda of regel. Lo, regel hazeka matsui, hani in hazeka and matsui. Regel is something that's commonly found, right? It's matsui, something that's normal, right? These are not normal, so therefore it counts not as regel, but as keren. So we've gone through all four toldos of Keren, right? We wanted to say one of them should really be an av. We solved that problem. We said the other three should belong to either Shane or Regel. We solved those. We have all four toldos of Keren that are now stable. And you'll notice, well, we'll look at the Rashi's in a second. We'll make a ha'ar about our previous shir. But look at what the Gemara does now. This is where the Gemara very explicitly ties everything we've been doing to the Rav Papa, to the previous sugya. The Gemara says, Ella told Osein Lav Kiyotzi Behen, the Amr Rav Papa. When Rav Papa said, at the top of this Amud, told Osein Lav Kiyotzi Behen, there are some toldos that are not like the Avos. So what was he talking about, right? Ahai, right? Told Osein Lav Kiyotzi Behen, the Amr Rav Papa, ahai. What's he going on? What's he talking about? Which toldos are not like the Avos? Ilema Ahani, if you say it's these, meaning the toldos of Keren, are unlike Keren in terms of their halachos, Maishna Keren, the Kavanasa Lahazik, Umamon, Choshmerasan Alecha. Well, what's unique about Keren? It's Kavanasa lahazik, right? We talked a lot about that. The animal intends to damage. Mamoncha, you own the animal. And Shmiras and Alecha, you're responsible for it. Hani Nami, these toldos of Karen are also Kavanasa lahazik, Mamoncha, Shmiras and Alecha. The same standard applies to all of these toldos. So there's no logical reason to distinguish in terms of the onesh. In both cases, it should be the same standard, right? Which, of course, as we know, is chatzi nezik the first three times, even in Rishus Arabim. After that, it becomes muad, irchayv nezik shalim. So there's no reason, there's no difference between the avos and toldos of Karen, so the halacha should be the same. So Ella told her the Karen, ki Karen. Told of Karen is just like Karen, has the same halachos. It is kiyotzi behen. Rav Papa Ashen v'Regel. Rav Papa must have been talking about Shane or Regel. It can't be Karen. Notice how we're going down the line. We said there's three toldos of Shor. Karen, Shane, and Regel. We said it's not Karen. So now let's look at the next thing on, right? Next man up. Shane and Regel are next. Yeah.
What is Ravitza?
Ravitza means crouching. And somehow like a crouching where the animal sits on something and breaks it. Something like that. So if you look at Rashi Ravitza about halfway down, Rashi says, Sherasa Kalim Baderech, the animal saw these utensils on the road, the Halcha, and it walked over, the Ravitza Alian Kedei L'Shabra. Rashi throws in Kedei L'Shabra. It intentionally sits on these or crouches on these things in order to break them. Rashi says you can tell there was intent to break it. It wasn't just tired and it sat down. It intentionally went over to these Kalim and smashed them, sat on them intentionally. I guess if you have less use of your hands, you might smash things by other means. I don't know. But that Rashi is very clear about that. Rashi brings that in to make it clear that it's Kavanas Olahazik.
Similar to Negicha?
It's similar to, well, so...
I mean, you're constructing it that it is, but...
Well, the Gemara says it's a Tolda of Karen, right? So how is it a Tolda of Karen? So Rashi, at least this earlier Rashi, wants to emphasize the Kavanas Olahazik aspect. And you could imagine a scenario where an animal intentionally breaks something by sitting on it. So that's what Rashi brings up. I agree with you, there are other scenarios, and I think the Gemara would say also, if the animal was tired and sat down and didn't realize there was something there and happened to sit on it, sure, that would be regel,
that's
right?
The case of Parmesan,
right, well, except for the breaking thing under it. Yeah, but right, if it's tired and sits down, that's regel, but that's not this case.
That's not an act of aggression. I mean,
right.
Biting in the context of finding is an act of aggression.
You can see, I mean, if you can imagine, right, I mean, the same way anyone breaks anything. Usually we break with hands because we have hands. But if you didn't have hands, you'd kick, maybe you'd sit on, maybe you'd use the horn, right? But, you know, there's more creative measures. Right, right, it depends on the intent. I don't know, we you know, if I spent more time with cows, maybe I'd have more insights. If, you know, animals might think that way. Right, it goes. It sees the kli. It says, "I want to break this." Yeah, yeah.
What other
Let's look at the Rashi's on the Gemara we just read that we haven't seen before. So we'll start with Ravitza told of the regel. He interestingly, the Rashi on Ravitza here, third to last line, is going to say something. Well, he doesn't quite say the same thing. Da'alidei kfifas raglayim he rovetzes. Right. The Ravitza, you know, the reason you think Ravitza is Regel is because it's doing the Ravitza, it's doing the crouching with its legs. But we say, no, Regel has Eka Matsui. Regel is if something is commonly found. The Chol Shah, he mehaleches. It's always walking around. And if it happens to walk on Kalim, it happens to walk on Kalim. Right? That's Regel, normal walking around. But that's different than this. Hani ena Zeka Matsui. This is not common. These cases, namely Be'ita and Ravitza, Hilkach called told of the Karen pain. They're told of Karen. Why? The ain hazeko matzui. It's not common. The ain hana lehazeko. And there's no benefit. If it was common, it would be regel. If there was hana, it would be shame. It's neither of those. So it's Karen. U'mishal michatzi nezek hit Karen. Notice how this Rashi, when explaining why Ravitza is Karen, doesn't say kamanas olahazik. So either he's assuming you remember the Rashi earlier, or we again have a tension even within Rashi. As to remember what we discussed previously, what is the definition of Karen? What's the Mechayiv of Karen? Is Karen about Kavanas Lahazik, intent to damage, or is the real category of Karen about Mishunah, something unusual that's neither done for benefit or done out of normal action, but is done unusually, that will always be Karen. Maybe this Rashi implies that Karen is defined by Mishunah. Could be, because he doesn't emphasize the aggression piece, and that would make Phil a little happier also, right? That it doesn't need to be aggressive, it just needs to be not something done out of intent to benefit or out of normal action, right? It's something done unusually, that automatically is Karen. Maybe that's what Rashi's getting at here, although then he would seem to argue with himself
so
earlier.
If an animal's going on the street and there is an object that the vendor has hanging and in the process of walking...
Normal walking?
That should be reg.
Yeah, that would be reg, Ellen. If, then it depends.
Even though it's doing it with its body.
Yeah. Yeah, with the body, that would also be regal. Then it would depend. Does the owner have the right to put these items there? If he does, and you know, and you're going to private property or chayev. If it's in Rishus HaRabim and the owner has no right to put the things there, then the ox would be putter.
Yeah.
But that's regal. Yeah. One more Rashi on what we did. Maishna Karen de Mechayev the Kavanas Lahazik. Rashi again, right? The Gemara, but Rashi brings in that you're chayev for Karen because of Kavanas Lahazik. So there's some mixed signals in Rashi on this Amud. We dealt with that larger sugya last time, although we didn't deal with it in Rashi. We dealt with it more different shitos, different Balia Tosfos in the Rambam. Okay, but let's go forward in the Gemara. We've gone through Karen. We looked at the source for Karen. We discussed the Toldos of Karen. We said, is Karen Toldos and Kiyotze Behen? It is. So it's not Rav Papa's Toldos and Lav Kiyotze Behen. So now we're on the last word, on the fourth to last line on Beis Mabeis. Shein V'regel, Hechik Sivei. Where is it written? What's our source for Shein and Regel? Where do we know these Avos from, right? Avos, there's three Avos of Shor, Karen, Shein, and Regel. Where do we know Shein and Regel from? The truth is, we're going to see they come from the same Pasuk. So it's going to be a little tricky. The Pasuk says, Ki aver ish sadeo cherem, if a person consumes a field, Vishilach es bi'iro, and he sends out his cattle, uvi'er, and it consumes bistei acher, in someone else's field. Mitav sadeo, mitav karo shalim. You have to pay from the best of your field or vineyard. That's the pasuk. So let's go into the Gemara now, right? And that's pasuk dalet, perek kaf beis pasuk dalet in the on page one of the handout. But into the Gemara now. Shein v'regel hechik sive. Where's our source for shein and regel? D'tanya, we have a brisa that derives this. V'shilach zeha regel. Sending out your animals, that means regel. That means the ava regel. How do we know this? V'chenu omer mishalchei regel hashor v'hachamor. Right, a pasuk in Yeshayahu. A little bit out of nowhere, but it says Mishalchei Regel that he's sending out the legs of the ox or donkey. So we see that Vishilach about animals can refer to Regel. You're sending out the legs of your animal. Okay, so that's Regel. Uvier Zohashain, right? Uvier consuming it consumes in someone else's field. That's Shane. How do we know this? V'chenu Omer Kasher Yivair Hagalal Adtumo. Just like. It consumes the dung until its end. What does that have to do with Shein? Good question. So let's look at Rashi and figure out what the connection is between Uvier and Shein based on this pasuk of Kasher Yivara Galil Atumo. So first, Rashi Vashilach Aspi'ira. Rashi identifies the pasuk. And then top Rashi and Gimel Medalev HaGalal. Galal generally means dung. But Rashi says, Galal Hainu Shein. Here, Galal means Shein. She pe'amim migule. Ufa'amim mechuse. Galal mi lashon migule. Exposed, right? Because teeth are sometimes exposed. Sometimes they're not, right? It's the part of the body that, right, very easily you can expose your teeth and cover your teeth. Uksiv be yav'er, and it says, to consume, so that must be the teeth. Kasher yiva'er hagalo adtumo, like the teeth consume something until it's completed. And in our pasuk, ki yav'er ish, so der cherem, uvi'er b'steacher, rather, right? He sends out the animals, uvi air, and it consumes. What's consuming? The teeth are consuming. So that's one interpretation. Galal actually means teeth. Lishnachrina, galal zerei. Other interpretation, galal means feces, which I think the more standard definition. So what's the connection? Shashen mivaeris limachal v'naseis galal. Not kasher yivara galal. It's not consuming the dung. It's consuming such that it turns into dung. Meaning if an animal eats something, that food will get digested and become Galal. So that's what it means. Kasher yivar ha-galal. It wasn't galal when it started. It was galal at the end. So that, therefore, it's talking about teeth and the digestive process as a whole. And then Rashi says, galal kamo galal adam u'galal behema. Right? Different Mishnayos talk about, or even a pasuk in Yechezkel here, and a Gemara in Ksubis, talk about galal adam u'galal behema, dung from or feces from people and animals. So however you get it, somehow galal means teeth, and therefore, uvi'er, b'stei acher, is shein because kasher yivair agalah tumo. In both cases, we use the verb. We find the verb v'shilach, the verb uvier. We find that same verb elsewhere associated with a body part of the animal. So v'shilach is regel, uvier is shein. So that's our sources. We have our two psukim. Of course, it's not going to be so simple. So the Gemara says amar mar. So we had just said v'shilach ze haregel. How do we know v'shilach is regel? Because we have this other pasuk, v'shilachi regel ashor v'chamor, that teaches us that associates v'shilach with regel. Tama, because of Rechmana, v'shilachi regel ashor v'chamor. The only way we knew v'shilach was regel is because we had this other pasuk. Halav hachi v'may mukemesla. If we didn't have that other pasuk, what else could we have thought this pasuk would be? What else could v'shilach be other than regel? E karen ksiv. It can't be karen because we already have that elsewhere. Ishein ksiv, it can't be shein. We already found that elsewhere. So what could it possibly be? What could uvir be other than regel? What could vishilach be other than regel? Why do we need this other pasuk? So the Gemara is going to explain why. Itzrich, we need it. Salkadat dachamina, idi v'idi ashein. You might have thought both of these parts of the pasuk, both vishilach and uvir, are talking about shein. It's not a crazy idea. It's the same pasuk. V'hadu mechalia karna, v'hadu lo mechalia karna. You might have thought we need two separate psukim for Shein, both Vishilach and Uvier. Why? Because if you only had Uvier, you would think the animal is only going to be chayav if it totally destroys something. Let's say the animal eats a fruit, then yeah, that's not so bad. You ate the fruit, but the tree is still there, so you'd be putter. If you ate the fruit such that you damaged the whole tree, then you would be chayav. If you totally destroyed the item, then you would be chayav. Rashi gives a specific example. Let's say it eats a row of crops. So there's two different scenarios. As you eat a row of crops and it grows back, it's not as good as it would have been, but it's still there. Or you eat a row of crops and it's totally devastated, right? There's no crops. So Rashi says that the havamina is you'd only be chayav if the animal ate a row of crops such that it wouldn't come back at all. That's what uvir means. Uvir means to destroy. That's why we need a second pasuk in this havamina. We think we would need v'shilach to teach even if it didn't destroy the whole row of crops, it just damaged it. It only destroyed the mechalia karna. It didn't destroy the principle. Only the additional value of it that we think you're chayiv as well. Kamash malan, because we have this pasuk mishalchei regel ashor v'chamor, that teaches us that v'shilach actually is talking about regel, not about shein. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi spells this out in a bit more detail. Right, idi v'idi. We think both psukim, both v'shilach and uvir, are about shein. V'shilach uvir tarvayu ashein. V'shilach asal chiyuv ehechad lo kalya karna. V'shilach teaches that you're chayiv even if it didn't destroy the principle. Demashma kigon she'achla aruga, it eats a row of crops. V'sofolach sorv letzmoach, it's going to grow back. Avalo kitchila, but not as good as originally. And you're chayiv in that case. Uvir haynu ehechad mechalya karna. Uvir is if it totally destroys it. It destroys the principle. Demashma uvir shemivar legamre, totally destroyed. So that's why you need two psukim. Then Rashi says, well, you know, why not say you only have one pasuk, and the one pasuk is talking about if it's a scenario where it is mechalia karna, and then you learn by kal v'chomer to the other cases. But he says you wouldn't think that if you only had one pasuk, you would think it's talking about lo mechalia karna. So we won't do that part of Rashi inside. Everyone's welcome to do that on their own. Let's go back into the Gemara, the sixth line, third word on the line, v'hashta de'ukimna a regel. So now that we said v'shilach is talking about regel, shein de lo mechalia karna minolan. You know what? Your havamina earlier was pretty good. How would we know that shein, without mechalia karna, where you just damage the item, you don't totally destroy it, you, let's say, eat the fruit without destroying the tree, so to speak, how would we know you're chayiv in that case? Maybe our one pasuk of shein, uvier, only refers to when you destroy the principle. So we say, dumi the regel, it's similar to regel. Ma regel lo shena mechalia karna, lo shena lo mechalia karna. Av shein, lo shena mechalia karna, lo shena lo mechalia karna. We compare shein to regel. Regel is no havamina that you need to destroy the whole item. Right? Regel is whatever you trample, whatever you damage, you pay for. You don't need to destroy the whole thing. There's no havamina because it doesn't say uvier. So too shein, even though shein is learned from the word uvier, we compare it to regel and we say you're fully chayav for shein, even if you don't damage things further. Right? Rashi, ma regel, lo shena, dehalo ksiv be uvier. By regel, we have no assumption that you need to destroy the whole thing. It doesn't say uvier at all. Okay, moving on in the Gemara. So we've solved our source for karen, for shein, right? We're all set. Well, I guess we're set we have our psukim for both shein and regel. We've solved one problem. Why isn't the pasuk about regel really talking about shein? And now we're going to raise another problem. Amar mar, we said earlier, uvir zoha shein, uvir is shein, v'cheinu omer kasher yivar ha-galal atumo, like the pasuk teaches, yivar ha-galal, galal being shein, That's because we have that extra pasuk. Halav hachi b'mayu kimnala. But what would we have thought if we didn't have that pasuk? Kasher yivar galah. What would we have thought? Uvier. What would we have thought uvier refers to if not Shane? E Karen Ksiv. We already have a pasuk for Karen. E Regel Ksiv. We already have a pasuk for Regel as well. So what would we have thought? Itzrich. We do need this source to prove that uvier is talking about Shane. Sokadat the chamina. E Dv. E Regel. I would have thought you need two pasukim for Regel. Why? Hada azil mimela. Hada shach shlufei. One where the animal's walking on its own. Animal's walking around and it damages something. You're chayiv. Okay. That's one pasuk. And the other pasuk for a case where the person intentionally sends out the animal. Remember, the pasuk says, Vishilach esbeiro. He, the owner, sends out his cattle. You might think if you only had that pasuk, you might think you're only chayiv if the owner actively sends out his cattle. If the animal just walks around, you wouldn't be responsible. That's why we'd think you need a second pasuk, uvir, to teach that even if you don't send out your animal, you're still chayiv. Kamash malan. Therefore, we need the pasuk, kasher yivar galab tumo, to teach that uvir actually refers to Shane, not Regel. Then once again, we have the same point we did before. V'hashad ukiya Shane. So if uvir is about Shane, Regel da azlam amela minalan. So why is it the case? How do we know that if the animal walks on its own without being sent by the owners, that it's still chayav for Regel? Dumi the Shane, we have the same answer as before, right? Just like Shane, ma Shane, lo shna shilcha shluche, lo shna da azlam amela, af Regel shna shilcha shluche, lo shna da azlam amela. We don't distinguish by Shane, whether it's sent out on its own or not, obviously, because it doesn't say v'shilach. By Shane, it says uvier. So too, by Regel, we don't distinguish. So we solve that problem as well. Let's look quickly at Rashi. Ma Shane lo shnad haluksim bei v'shilach. It doesn't say v'shilach, so we wouldn't have thought that there would be an issue with that. Okay, now we raise yet another challenge to our double drasha in this pasuk. V'shilach is Regel, uvier is Shane. Our Gemara asks, So why not just have one pasuk? Now we're saying the opposite. Before we were saying, why do we need one pasuk for each? Each one should need two. Now we're saying both of them should just need one. Just say v'shilach. V'shilach implies either one. You send out your animal. How is it sent out? I don't know. It can be sent out to trample something. It can be sent out to eat something. V'shilach means both. Mashma regel, tifsiv mishalche regel, ashor v'chamor. As we said, v'shilach is regel. And umashma shen, it's also shen, tifsiv v'shen behemos ashalach bam. Right? This is hazinu. Hashem says in the curse, I'll send the teeth of animals against them. So you can send shen, just like you can send regel. So say v'shilach, and it means both. Ilav kar yaseira, if we didn't have the extra second pasuk, Havamina oha oha. I think you maxed out at one, either Shane or Regel. O Regel de Hezeko Matsui, or O Shane de Yeshan al Hezeko. Each one has some special feature. You should only be able to learn out one, either Regel, which is common, or Shane. Shane, which is Hana'a, well, Michti. Let's see. Shkulin Hain, we have O Shnehan. No, this is a general ruling, Gemara. If you have two drushos and you're not sure which one to make, they're equally good. So make both, right? Why not both? This is the Gemara source for why not both. So if Yo'o Shnei, we should learn out both, the Haimin Ayumakis. Which one would you exclude? They both seem very reasonable. So why not just have one pasuk, and you learn out both Shane and Regel? No, it's trich. You need the second pasuk. Sakhadai dechamina hani milihech deshalach shluchei. Aval azim imeilo lo kamash malan. If all we had was v'shilach, so you think v'shilach means you need to send it out, whether it's Shane or Regel, maybe you could learn both, but you'd have to send it out yourself. It couldn't be that it just happened to do the damage on its own. That's why you need uvir to teach that even if you didn't intentionally send it out on your own, you didn't send it out, the animal went on its own, you're still chayav. So we've solved the source for both Shane and Regel, which are mixed up with one another, or entangled with one another. We solved all the problems around that. What's next? If we know our structure of the sugya, what do we do next? We have to figure out what the toldos are, and then we're going to try to figure out whether the toldos are the same as the avos. But first, Rashi, oha, o regel mishun dehezeko matzei aval shein lo, o shein mishun dehezeko hezeko aval regel lo. That's when we thought you needed to learn out one or the other. Michti shein v'regel shkulanein, they're equal. Shein zeh chamor mizeh shrei b'shnei miyesh ben tzad chamor. They're equal. Each one has one stringency. If you have o shneim, mi v'shilach should teach both. Zehaiminayu mafkis, what would you exclude? Delo leisi minei hashneim shavim. Which one would you want to exclude to not learn it out from there? They're equal. It's strichle uvier de imafkis mi v'shilach. I would have thought only if you send it out intentionally are you chayiv. If not, not. That's why you need this extra pasuk of uvir to teach that even if you didn't intentionally send it out, it came the nafkal and shein mimela mi uvir asya regel v'yalfa mine. And then we learn out shein from uvir, we learn out regel from v'shilach. They learn from each other, and we're all set. Good. So we're done. We figured out the source for shein and regel. That was the more complicated part. And now, simpler. What are the toldos? Told of the shein maihi. What's a told of shein? So remember, shein we've defined as yesh hanal hazeka, the animal benefits. So there's other benefits that an animal can have besides eating. So let's see. Nischachra bekosa lehana asa. The animal scrapes itself against the wall for its benefit, right? It has a itchy back, right? It wants to scratch its back. It doesn't have one of those back scratchers. So it goes against the wall and scratches its back, and then it breaks the wall. That's hana'a. Vitinfa peros lehana asa. Or it makes fruits dirty for its benefit. We'll see exactly how that happens in a moment. So in those cases, it's doing things for its own benefit. That's not quite eating. Those are told us of shein. Classical shein is by eating. These are not exactly standard eating. Other forms of benefit, that's a tolda. Maishna shein, the yesh hanal lehezeko, umamoncha ushmirasan alecha, hani nam yesh hanal lehezekan, umamoncha ushmirasan alecha. So now we already made the comparison. We said these seem very similar. Shein, classic shein, the av of shein, the animal benefits. You own the animal, and you're responsible for watching it. So too here by the toldos. The animal benefits, you own it, and you're responsible for watching it. Ela told of the shein kishein. So it's told the same kiyotze behen. Right? You should be equally chaya for the toldos of shein as you are for the av of shein. The chikamer of papa told of the regel. So Rav Papa was not talking about shein, because shein, the avos and toldos seem the same. There's no reason to think that you'd be any less chayav by the toldos. So let's move on to the next thing. Let's move on to regel. Let's just take a look at Rashi first.
So the Gemara's saying that it's kiyotze.
Yeah, it's kiyotze ben.
I mean, of course it would have to, because that's why we're defining them as shein, is because they're...
It's a little circular, right? We're defining the shein because it has this quality of yesh hanal hazeko. And then we say, well, it should be exactly the same as shein because yesh hanal hazeko. But maybe that's the point. I mean, we'll see when we get to the one case that breaks this rule. There's exeris akasav involved. So we'll see. Maybe that's sort of our point of this whole sugya, is to say we're defining things conceptually and then everything follows the rules. Everything should be consistent unless you happen to have exeris akasav, which we'll see, will break the rules. Let's look at Rashi. Umayshna shein. Sorry, nischacha b'kosla hana'asa, right? It scratches its back against the wall for its benefit. V'hipilasu, and it knocks over the wall. Otinfa peres hana'asa, or it makes fruits dirty for its benefit. What does that mean? Shein is galgala alan. Right? Some animals like rolling around on the ground. Let's say there were some fruits on the ground where they were rolling and they broke them, they got them dirty like that. There's a whole discussion about whether... Fine, we'll leave that out for now. Fine, so that's Rashi. Umayshna shein, mehanach. So how is shein any different? Then it's toldos, the kamu chemist mills, the rav papa, but told the shein v'regel. And then, right, it's all the same. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Okay, so now let's think about the toldos of regel. Told of the regel maihi. So what's a tolda of regel? Let's listen to our list. Remember, we defined regel as matsui, something that's common, something that's the animal normally does. So hizika begufa darachilucha, it damages with its body by walking, right? Besara darachilucha, with its hair by walking. Bishlif shaleah befrumia shabefia, with the saddle on its back, with the spit in its, with the, not a spit, what do they call that in its mouth? The bit, there we go, it rhymes. The bit in its mouth. Bezug shebet savara, the yoke around its neck. Whatever exactly it is, something, a part of the animal or something attached to the animal, it's just walking around and it breaks stuff, right? Swinging around its body or what's on its body and it breaks things. While walking normally, that's a tolda of regel. So now we immediately jump in. Well, is this going to be kiyotzmin or not? Maishna regel, the hezeko matsui. Regel is common damage. Umamonchan, it's your money, ushmerasan alecha, and you're responsible for watching it. Hani nami hezekan matsui, umamonchan, ushmerasan alecha. Same thing here. In all these cases, it's a common damage. It's just animal walking around. Right? That's normal. And whatever, you know, whatever the collateral damage of that is, it's your money, you own the animal, and you're responsible to watch it. So it must be, toldo sein kiyotzmin, ela toldo the regel kiregel. So the toldo regel is like regel. Rav Papa told the boar. Rav Papa must have been talking about boar. We'll talk about that in a second while we move on to boar. But first, Rashi. Rashi kol hezek. Derech hiluch, shelo b'kavana, havi told the regel. Damage by walking without intent, That's a told of regal. The hezeko matzri is common, but in kavanaso lahazik. It doesn't intend to damage. It's common. Rashi doesn't even say that there's no hana, but that's true as well. Uvisara, it's hair. Shenibiku kelim visara. Ugrarasan ushvartan. Rashi has an interesting scenario. Somehow pots or pans get tied up in the animal's hair, and then it runs around and breaks things. Okay? Maishna regal, the mechayiv, the hezek matzu. You're chayiv for regal because it's normal, and it's something you own and you're responsible for. So to these, we're done. So it's not shein, it's not regal. Right? We found the source for shein and regal together. We then saw shein, the avos, and what are we figured out the tolos of shein. We decided that it's the tolos are kiyotz behen of the avos. We then figured out the tolos of regal, they're kiyotz behen of the avos. So we've solved all three of Karen, shein, and regal. And in none of them have we found tolos ein, lav kiyotz behen. So we move on to bor. Why is bor next? Shore bor. We did the three subsets of shore. Next we have bor, mava, and hever. But for bor, we don't need to figure out the source. Why not? It's beferish in the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'chiv tachish bor, pasuk lama gimel lama dalet. We don't need to figure out the source. We just need to figure out the toldos of bor. Right? We only figured out the sources of these three, Karen, Shein, and Regel, which, you know, are maybe a little less explicit, and they're the shore subsets that we needed to find sources. Here not so much. Tolda the boar, my niu. Okay, so what is a tolda of boar? Right, what's a subset of boar? Boar is a pit. What else? What subset could there be? So, my nihu, ilema av yud tolda tes. You might think, an av, the real boar, is if it's 10 tvachim deep. If it's less than 10 tvachim deep, it's 9, that would be a tolda. But lo tes ksive, lo yud ksive. Neither of them are in the pasuk. It doesn't say 9 or 10 in the pasuk. It just says boar. Right? We're presuming that being an av has something to do with being in the psukim, which seems reasonable. We've generally worked with psukim for all the other avos. So there's no distinction between 9 and 10 in the psukim. Hello, Kasha. Well, that's not a problem. It says the owner keeps the dead body and then has to pay for it. Right? So that implies that it died. Well, Chazal have this tradition that only a pit that's 10 tvachim deep kills. If it's 9 tvachim, it won't kill. So we do have death in the pasuk. We have, and therefore we have 10 versus 9 in the pasuk. So maybe that is av and tolda. No, sof, ze av lemisa, ve ze av nezikin. Well, if you wanted to say that, you should say they're both avos. One's for death and one's for nezikin. So that's not what the av and tolda of bor is. So what is the tolda of bor? Ela, avno sakino umasao, shehinicham b'shus harabim v'hiziku. If you leave, not just dig a pit in the public domain, if you leave a rock or a knife or a burden, something, some sort of thing that someone might trip on, and there's just a rabim, and it damages someone, it's not quite a bor, so it's not actually a hole in the ground, but it's a tolda of bor. It's the same basic idea. You leave some obstacle, thank you, in the public domain, and someone gets damaged. So that would be the tolda. Hechi dami. So what's the scenario exactly? I da afka rinhu. Let's say, right, this was your, I don't know, you have your knapsack. You leave your knapsack in the public domain. I da afka rinhu. If you're mafkir, you say, This was my knapsack. I'm mafgir. It belongs to Hefgir now. Bein l'Rav, bein l'Shmuel, haynu bor. So fine. According to both Rav and Shmuel, that would count as bor. V'idelo afgirinu. If you're not mafgirid, ilo Shmuel de amar kula mi boro lamadnu haynu bor. If you're not mafgirid, Shmuel would still say that's a bor because bor is sort of the prototypical case. V'ilo Rav de amar kula mi shor lamadnu haynu shor. According to Rav, the prototypical case is shor, so that would count as shor. Obviously, if it's shor, that's not helping us because we're trying to figure out a tolda of bor. But either according to Shmuel or if you're mafgirid, that would be bor. So maishna bor shekein tchilas asiyas olenezek umemoncha ushmiras analecha. What's the definition of a bor? Its original creation was for damage, meaning it has no real constructive purpose. A bor is sort of definitionally only about damaging. Like by the time you put it out there, all it can do is hurt someone, and you own it loosely because it might be hefker, in which case you don't technically own it, but you're responsible for it as a prior owner, maybe something like that, and you're responsible for it. Haninami, these toldos of bor also. Their original purpose is to damage umemoncha. You own it. They're your responsibility. So it should be kiyotze behen. They should be the same halachic status as classic bor. El atolda the bor kibor. So the tolda bor is like bor. V'chika amar papa atolda the mave. So now we move down the list, right? Shore, bor, mave is next. It must be that mave is where Rav Papa says tolda sein lav kiyotze behen. Let's just look at Rashi quickly. Av asara bor amok yud tfachim hainu av de kach darchel hamis, right? 10 tfachim deep. That's enough. That's how people generally die, v'zeh av v'nezik. And then we said, no, 10 verses 9, that wouldn't be av and tolda, that would be av for killing and av for nezikin. Dim nafal shor rebor, tisha, if an ox falls into a 9 tevach pit umes, pater balabor, you would be pater because it died. It's not supposed to die in a 9 tevach pit, it's only supposed to die in a 10 tevach pit. So if it happens to die in a 9 tevach pit, you'd be exempt because it didn't follow the normal expected rules. Dim huzak chayev, but if it's damaged, of course you'd be chayev. The avhu, that would count as an av. The hamidiyuka, the kranafka. We'd learn now from the pasuk, where the pasuk says, it talks about mace. So then we say there's a difference between mace and not mace. That depends on 9 versus 10 tvachim. So each of those would then be avos, because they're both derived from the pasuk. Midiyuka, the kranafka, mnechsib, hamace yellow, the mashma borasara, the bar makdilhu, chayev, and mises ashor. Only if the pit is 10 deep, where it can kill, are you chayev if the animal dies, habatsar miyachi, if it's less than 10 deep, bimisa lo chayev. You'd only be chayev for nezikin, not for misa. Lishna achrina, another lashon. It's not clear exactly if this is another lashon. Some people try to take out these words. Sort of another angle that Rashi takes. It comes in very similar. Sof sof ze'av lemisa ve'ze'av lenezikin. In the end, this there should be an av for misa and an av for nezikin, meaning the 10 should be av for misa, 9 tefachim should be av for nezikin. D'chi hechi the nafik leman mikra borasar lemisa. Nafglen bor tesla nizik, and we derive both from the psukim. They say, "Nafal shama shor o chamor." It says an ox or donkey falls in mashma bein meis uvein huzak, whether they die or are injured. Balabor yishal, you have to pay umihu im meis hashor. If the ox dies, amar rabbanan bebor tisha pater, then you'd be exempt if it's 9 tefachim. Lo machma sabor meis, it must have not died because of the pit, because it can't die with a short, with a low pit. The ain bo k'day lahamis, it's not enough to kill. But if it gets injured, you would pay because it is enough to injure. Again, it's not exactly clear what these two lashonos and Rashi are, but either way, Rashi says if the diok of the pasuk is there's a difference between if it dies and doesn't die, and Chazal understand dying only happens in a 10 tevach pit, and injuries happen in a 9 tevach pit, then those would be two avos, not an av and a tolda. So that doesn't work. And then we said, no, a new definition of a tolda of boar is avno sakino umasao sheinicham birshus harabim. You leave your rock or whatever in the public domain. Rashi says v'niskalu bahen b'nei adam hezikulam. People trip and get hurt. So if you were mafkirit to afkirinhu sheif kiran v'nusanam birshus harabim, you make it ownerless and leave it in the public domain. Bein l'rav bein l'shmuel. The pligi v'perakam v'nei chazakad. It's machokes later on. According to either of them, hainu bor. That's definitely bor. The tarvayu amri kol takala shehifkir. That's a bor. Nafkalam nibor. Any obstacle that you make ownerless and leave in the public domain, that's a bor. The chayev kihechi the bor chiyuba the brishus harabim he tavi hefker kerem lekaman perak shosh nechaz apara shall iske krio psicha balo af kol tekal shev kira chayev. Finally, learn out. It's a basic comparison to a pit. You dig something, you leave it in the public domain, it injures someone, you're chayev. These would all be similar as long as you were mafkir. If you weren't mafkir, then it's machlokas, right? So Rashi here on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. Shmuel says your default obstacle is a boar. It's a boar even if you didn't mafkir it. Rav says the default obstacle is learned from shore. You own it, and if it damages your chayev, so then hainu shore. The lav told the boar, it wouldn't be a told of boar at all, so it's not even relevant to our discussion. Uveshor Amran Le'el told the shore Gishor. We said earlier, told the shore is like shore, so nothing to talk about. Vafilu Shmuel Nami, the Amr told the boar Ninhu. Even if you say it's a told of the boar, my chazduk, me milse the ref papa, told the boar, my shnabor, the chayj, kin tlas yasov. Then the Gemara's continuation is, well, if even if you say it's boar, according to Shmuel, it should be no different than the av of boar. The av of boar and the told of boar should be the same. You'd be equally chayav, told the san kiyotzbehen. This isn't where Rav Papa was talking about. And that's why we say, Hani Nami Tchilas Asiyasa. And here also, the original damage, or the original purpose, was for damage. Tchilas Mashen Nasu Bor. The origins as a boar, Dainu Kishahun Chulisham, when they were placed there in the public domain, Hayu Omdin Linezek, they were ready to damage. The Chikamar of Papa Tolda Lav Ka'avdi Dein. When Papa says the Tolda is not like the Av, Atolda the Mave. It must be about Mave rather than Bor. Right? So what do we have left? We have Mave and Hever that are left. And we have 13 minutes, so hopefully we'll be able to do this. Right? So, and remember, Mave and Hever, we already know the source. We don't know what Mave is yet, but whatever it is, we know its source. And we know Hever. Hever is Kisei Tzei Eish, Pasuk Hey at the bottom of page 1 here. So we're going to, we know the Psukim, we know the source, we're just going to figure out what are the toldos, and are the toldos like the avos or not.
And all this discussion is to find out what Rav Papa was
talking about. Ostensibly, right? So ostensibly it's to find out what Rav Papa was talking about. We'll talk, if we have a minute, we'll talk about that at the end of the shiur. So let's Let's go on to mave. Right, we said it must be mave mai nihu. Right, what is the tolda of mave? Ilu Shmuel the amar mave is a shame. Shmuel says mave is shame. Oh, Kimna told the shame. We already talked about shame, so that's no, nothing to talk about. Ilu Rav amar mave is Adam. Rav says mave is Adam. Okay, so now what's the tolda of Adam? My avos and my toldos is bay. What's the av and toldos of Adam? Right, because you know even if it's a father and a child, the child is also a human, right? So it'd still be Adam. V'chitema av neor tolda yashen. The av of a person who damages is if they're awake. The told is if they're asleep. But that's not true. V'hatnan Adam with the olam beiner ben yashen. We say a person's always chayv whether they're awake or asleep. Now, interestingly, some of the rishonim discuss are you exactly equally chayv? There's some cases where you're putter. That actually could be interesting as a tolda that's lav kiotzman. But that's not the direction the Gemara goes in. It's a question on those rishonim who have some differences. Why doesn't the Gemara go in that direction? Fine, we're not getting into that now. Ela, so the, what's a tolda of Adam? Ela akicho b'nio. It must be talking about the different things that come out of his body. Spit, or something comes out of a nose. That damages someone. Let's say, you sneeze and it breaks something. That would be Adam, a tolda of Adam. Hechidami, ibahadi da azli kamazki. If it's damaging as it's going out from the person spits or sneezes and it damages, that's kokohu, that's your own strength. So that's not a tolda, that's you. It's just like if you throw a ball and it breaks something, that's Adam. So if you sneeze and the sneeze breaks something, that's kochu, that's your own strength, you'd be chayav. E basar denayach, if, let's say you spit and then the spit trips someone on the ground or something like that, bein l'rab, bein l'shmul, hainu bor. That would obviously be bor because presumably you were mafkir, your spit on the ground, it's then a bor, and if someone trips and is injured, that's bor. That's not a tolda of Adam, that's just bor. So what's tolda of Adam? We can't even find the good one, right? All told of Adam is basically Adam. All told of the Mave Kimave must be told of Mave is Mave, whether it's Shane, we already said told of Shane is Shane, or it's Adam, we couldn't find any differences, right? Maybe it's Adam with the Olam, so even if you're asleep, we didn't even find the good tolda, but if we did, it would be the same. V'chikam Rav Papa, a tolda the Esh. Rav Papa must be talking about Esh, because it can't be Mave, whatever Mave is. Let's look at Rashi on Mave. Rashi plugged to the Shmuel of Rab b'Mave l'kam b'Shmaitin. Later on in our sugya is the debate between Shmuel and Rab. What exactly is Mave? We threw out both possibilities: Shein and Adam. Adam Neir Hainu Av. That would be the Av if you're awake. If you're asleep, it would be the Tolda. Adam Muad Er v'Yashem Mishli Perak Beis. So again, in the Perak Beis, you're chayv whether you're awake or asleep. El Tolda the Adam Hainu Kicho Neo, the spit or something coming out of the nose. Kicho Reach HaPeh, right? Roch HaPeh rather, the spit from the mouth. Neo Leichas HaChotam, right? Okay, thank you. Right, roka yotzi mitoch gufei agav koch. And it comes to everybody by strength. So iba hadi da azli mazki, if it damages as it's coming out, shenafal al shirayim, utnafum, it falls on clothing and makes them disgusting. Olesocha mashkin minosu, when her drink and makes it disgusting. Kochohu, that's your own force. Fainu adam gufo. Bechai, that's adam, that's not even a tolda. Ibasar znaich, after it rests on the ground, achar noach harok la'aretz iziku, shehuklak adam lem, someone slips on it. Bein the Rab, bein the Shmuel, hainu bor, havadei takala da'afri, right? That's, you definitely are mafkir that. It's takala, and you're mafkir. So that's bor. So, fine. So here we are, and we're up to tolda de esh. Right? Again, we know the source of esh. It's a pasuk in the Torah. But what is a tolda of esh? Tolda de esh, my nihu. What's a tolda of esh? Ilema avno sakinu asav shinicham berosh gago, v'nafu beruch mitzuya v'heziku. Remember we had before, we said a tolda of bor is a stone or similar that you put in the public domain. That's sitting there. But remember, what's the difference between Esh and Bor? The difference between Esh and Bor is that Esh is moving. So what if you leave your rock on the roof and then the wind knocks it over, and then a normal wind that you should have expected to happen, and then the rock hits someone, that would be the equivalent of Esh, a tolda of Esh, right? So you leave your rock, your knife, or your burden on the roof, it falls over in a normal wind that you should have expected and damages someone, that would be a tolda of esh. So the Gemara tries to figure this out. Hey, chidami, what exactly is the scenario? E behadi da azikamazki hainu esh. If it literally damages someone as it's falling, right, the knife, as it's falling, cuts someone, okay, that would be esh. Maishna esh, the koch achar me'urav bahen, umamoncho, shmerasan alecha, hani nami, koch achar me'urav bahen, umamoncho, shmerasan alecha. How do we define esh? We said esh is something moving, but maybe the more precise way of saying it, the Gemara says, is there's another force mixed in, right? Because esh doesn't move on its own. It needs air or wind to move it around, right? The Gemara says wind to move it. We might also add oxygen to feed it. There's some other factor mixed in. It's not the fire itself that's doing it on its own. It needs some help. Same thing. The wind was necessary to help the knife fall off of the roof. It's a koach acher mu'ur ben. There's some mixed in other force. and it's your money, and you're responsible for it, so it should be the same, right? Just like classic Eish is all these things, so to the tolda of Eish, the rock or knife you leave on the roof, you should be equally chayav, el tolda the Eish ke Eish, right? It's a tolda saying, the tolda of Eish is like Eish, so then what's left? Right, we're done. We went through the whole list. All six of our avos. We thought there were only four avos. Turns out there were six avos. All six of them, the tolas are like the avos. So what's Rav Papa talking about? So we say, v'chi ka'amar Rav Papa atolda de regel. Rav Papa must have been talking about regel. Now you already see here something's fishy, right? And the Gemara says something's fishy. Regel? Hokimna tolda de regel. We discussed that a long time ago, and we said tolda of regel is like regel. No, not normal regel. B'chatzi nezik tsroros. Chatzi nezik tsroros. If the animal walks and kicks rocks and the rocks damage something, then you're chayav chatzi nezek. Special rule. The hilchos gemirila. That's halacha l'mosh misina. You're only chayav chatzi nezek for tsroros. So there you go. Usually regal, you're chayav nezek showing. Tsroros, you're chayav chatzi nezek, and yet it's a tolda of regal. Exactly why we'll see in a second. So this is tolda san lav kiyotze behen. This tolda of regal is different because you're only chayav chatzi nezek, not nezek showing. That my karila told of the regal. So why is it a told of regal? Why not just say that's Karen? Your chayv chatzi nezek. Shouldn't that be Karen? Well, so let's see what we say. Maybe you'd say it's Mishuna. I don't know, right? But why is it regal? In what way is it regal and not Karen? L'shali min ha'aliyah, that you pay from the roof, which means usually in Karen, if it's Karen, the animal damages. Let's say you have a cheap short. You have a $20 ox that damages a $100 ox. It's a short term. So what do you pay? Usually you pay chatzi nezek. So how much would that be? 50. But we have a rule. You're only mishalim migufo. You max out at the value of the ox itself. So you would never be able to, a $20 ox can never be chayav more than $20 for damage it does. So that's true by Karen, but that would not be true by Tsoros, our Gemara is suggesting now. By Tsoros, we'd say you're mishalim and aliyah. You have to pay regardless of how cheap, how inexpensive your short is. It has to pay the entire half damage that it did. So that would be why it's like regel. Regel, there's no limitation of migufo. So it would be unlike Karen, and therefore like regel, because you have to be mishalim min ha'aliyah. But wait a second. V'hami baya bayi. Rava, this was Rava's question. Are you mishalim min ha'aliyah or not? Do you max out by tsroros at the value of the animal that's damaging? Or do you pay the entire half damage? D'bayi Rava, chatzi nezek tsroros migufo mishalim min ha'aliyah mishalim. Rava wasn't sure. Do you pay, right, your $20 ox that kicks a rock and breaks some ice sculpture that's worth $10,000? Do you pay the full chatzi nezek, $5,000? Or do you just pay $20 for the ox? You max out at the ox. Rava wasn't sure. So we have a couple of answers. Just a second. L'Rava mibayle. Rava wasn't sure. L'Rav Papa pshitle. Rav Papa was sure. Rav Papa knew that you are chayav of the full $5,000 for the chatzi nezek because it's really regel. It's not Karen. That's one answer. L'Rava d'mibayle amai kari l'tolda. But what about for Rava? According to Rava, would this actually still be a tolda of Karen or not? Our answer is, it still is called a tolda of Karen, l'potra b'shus harabim. Because, according to this idea, regel is patra b'shus harabim, right? If an animal is walking normally and breaks something in the public domain, the animal is exempt. It's just walking normally. You shouldn't leave things on the ground for an animal to break. But if it enters someone else's field, it's chayiv, right? This is regal. You're chayiv if you trample something in someone else's field, not in the public domain. So we're suggesting tsroros, you'd be putter in Rishus Harabim, and that way it's like regal. If it were like Karen, you'd be chayiv in Rishus Harabim, so you're putter in Rishus Harabim. That's why even for Rava, who's not sure, who thinks maybe you do pay min ha'aliyah maybe you only pay migufo for tsroros, still it's regal because you're a putter in Rishus Harabim. Question? Presumably not.
It's walking and it just steps on something. And
it kicks a rock and it breaks something. Yeah.
Okay, so
there's no kavanah. It's not kavanah salahazik. You still might have said it's mishune. You're saying, what's the whole havamina here that we think it's Karen? But I think the Gemara is focusing more on the halachic details rather than what it should be. It's sort of looking at what is it categorized under based on its halachos. So it seems to assume it needs to have some aspects of regel in order to be a tolda of regel, regardless of the intention. It's halacha moshmi Sinai. It breaks the rules. We'll talk about why. We'll talk about tzoros in more detail in a further shir. Let's look at Rashi quickly, and then maybe even the conspiracy theory about this whole sugya, if we have a chance. So Rashi says, "Bechati nezik tzoros shahaisa mehaleches." The animal is walking. V'itiza tzoros baragled. It kicks. It shoots out rocks with its feet. V'shibur esakel and it breaks kalim. Kaimlan Hilsik Mirla, we have Lemosha Misina, we have Alakha Moshmisina, Dimamonahu, Philo Knas, that's considered Mamon and not Knas, even though it's Chatzi Nezek, it's Mamon, not Knas. You may recall we discussed this about Chatzi Nezek of Karen. Valvagav the Palganizka Shal Nagicha Havi Knas, even though Chatzi Nezek of the Karen is a Knas, Kirila Kaman, high Palganizka Mamon, this Chatzi Nezek is definitely Mamon. Philokach Lav told of the Karen, who it's not a told of Karen, Elder Regel, Dimikoach Regel, who the Asu, it's because of Regel. That you're chayav, right? The foot kicked the rock. Regel lo havi, but it's not like regel. The regel mishalim nezik sholim behind the Rav Papa. You only pay chatzi nezik, so it's not like regel, despite the fact that it is a told of regel. That my kari la told of the regel. The whole of the anim mishalim is kamos. You're not paying like regel, so why do we call it regel? Mishalim in ha'aliyah shemizika yosu rimashi shava mishalim ha'hezek mi bay. So you pay the full damage, even if it's more than the animal's worth. Ki regel like regel in general. Yosiv ba biregel meitav sadehu. We don't have this rule of migufo like we do by Karen. The complicated math there. Maybe so. What about Rava, who isn't sure about that? And even for him, it's still lepotra b'shus haravim ki regel. The regel in a chayves elam ken nichlasel b'shus hanizak. Regel in a chayves if you go into someone else's field. Fizika dichsiv ba v'shilach es biiro uvir b'stei acher. You send out the ox and it goes into someone else's field. Behind b'shus hanizak. So that's why tsuros you'd be you're still putter you're still putter and she's a rabim like regel. Okay, now the conspiracy theory. So it's a little unusual that we said regel. We had a whole discussion about regel. We said no, it's holding Saint Kiosman, and then we go back at the end and somehow we know after going through all six cases we say oh yeah it's regel, and then we knew because of this halakha moshe b'sinai. Why didn't we think of that earlier, right? And like it's almost like too nicely structured here, right? Where we have the four avos, one of which has really one branches into three. There's six total avos. There's a whole structure. We go through the drushos. So it makes you wonder, maybe like the Baal of Gemara knew the answer right away. Could have just said, oh yeah, it's talking about chatzin ezek tzoros. But we wanted to get an introduction to all of the different avos and toldos, and are they kiyotzmen or not? To get the basic definitions. What's karen? What's shame? What's regal? What are the avos? What are the toldos? And that introduction, the best way to do it is with a mystery. What is Tolosein Lav Kiyotzeben? And we go through trying to figure that out. Of course, the Baal HaGemara knew that from the beginning. But, learning it the first time, you don't know that. You don't know the answer yet. And that's how you learn all about these six avos of Nezikin while searching for what we ultimately find is Chatzi Nezek Tzoros.